a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
We have a quorum with a majority of the members elect present. At this time, I'm certain you all have had the opportunity to review the minutes, and I would entertain a motion for approval.
Second.
Second. Motion to approve by Representative Jensen, seconded by Representative Condit. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved. I'd like for our pages now to come up to the microphone and introduce yourself, please, if you can get there. We have one that is slightly injured. Please come up to the microphone. Tell us who you are and where you're from.
Okay. I'm Nicole Messner, and I'm from Belfouche.
Thank you, Nicole. Welcome.
I'm Melanie Mogg, and I'm from Florence.
Thanks, Melanie. Should you have any handouts, please make sure that our pages get those handouts and they'll make distribution to the members of the committee. I would appreciate that. I'd also like to remind anyone who will testify in this committee room to make sure you've signed in, and also those of you that need credentials, we will be looking at credentials, so make sure that they're correct. And I also remind you that all questions will come through the chair. And with that, we will start today's business. Just an administrative note, the chair is going to defer House Bill 1056 to February 9th and House Bill 1085 to February 2nd. We have some individuals that wanted to testify on those bills, and they weren't able to be here with us today. Let me get this bill started. We will now open the hearing on House Bill 1119, which is an act to revise the procedure for reissuing certain alcoholic beverage licenses. I'll ask the committee to hold all your questions until the appropriate time. Make some notes, and we'll get to the question and answer portion in a few minutes. We will now hear proponent testimony on House Bill 1119.
Morning, Chairman Solman, members of...
Morning, Representative.
Members of Commerce Committee, I'm Representative Mark Kirkaby from Rapid City, here as a proponent and prime sponsor of House Bill 1119. First of all, I do appreciate your time this morning. I know we all have a busy schedule, and I will try to be as brief as possible with my 19 pages of notes that I have this morning. Okay, Mr. Chairman, I am offering a little humor. House Bill 1119. This bill, I believe, specifically is designed to help streamline the yearly renew process for certain alcoholic licenses. Currently, every single license holder, those thousands in the state of South Dakota annually, must attend a yearly review, a public hearing to determine the validity of remaining in business. Any and all concerns of any violations, pending license law issues, and legal issues from law enforcement will all be incorporated into that hearing. In addition, the State Department of Revenue and the local governing board are all required to review the merits of allowing a licensee, that business owner, to remain in business. This bill seeks to streamline the process for the business owner who is legally compliant and has no criminal violations concerning their license. I would suggest that local government would realize significant reductions and administrative cost, and certainly enormous amounts of the valuable time by not having to each and every year dedicate the time and the resources and preparation for both staff support and public advertising for the small business owner who is in fact subscribing to state law and has no license violations. Currently, a huge financial risk on the part of the business owners at stake because they are limited to adequately plan for future events, plan a special promotion, book that rodeo performance beyond their current licensure because of the guessing game of not knowing that even if they are a rock-solid business owner and have no license violation, a local city council or a county commission may have an illegitimate bone to pick with them or a personality conflict that in fact puts their license and business at risk. I would suggest that the licenses may compare with those of any other license holder in the state of South Dakota, and yet their businesses, their financial interests in the community certainly exceed that of many others. They have thousands and sometimes millions of dollars invested in their businesses, and the current annual review application process hinders not only their stability, but their current operations and certainly future growth as well. The question before you, I believe, hinders on the simplest of forms and philosophies. Should a legal and client and compliant business be subjected to an annual review when in fact they have no license law violations against them? I would further state that I am personally first in line to state that if a license holder has in fact violated the terms of their licenses, there should certainly be an annual license review. They should be held accountable to the fullest extent of the law. I believe there might be an opponent who will contend that they demand an annual hearing, even on those who have no complaints. The rationale to express concerns that a license holder is not a nice guy, that they dislike alcohol, or a previously approved location should be denied simply because are not only excuses or grasping at straws, they're not violations of license law or renewal. Additionally, each and every citizen has the full right and opportunity to offer through the Secretary of the Department of Revenue any complaint. At any city council meeting or a county commission meeting, the public will always have a right to voice a concern. I will not only honor this right, I will protect it. In addition, a violation of license law will in fact be addressed immediately by both local and state law enforcement. You certainly do not have to wait until the annual license review to challenge a license holder for violations. Again, I'm not asking that those license holders with no violations are able to know. I am asking that those license holders with no violations are able to know that they can predict their own future, that they can plan for special events, and they can remain in business as long as they have no violations. At any time, under 35.211, the local board can file a recommendation for suspension or revocation for violation. Additionally, 35.212 authorizes the secretary without delay to investigate alleged violations and shall cause proceedings for revocation of a license. The procedure is in place for violations. I'm asking for the same procedure to reflect those license holders who in fact have no violations. I believe that House Bill 1119 offers that stability, that predictability. Streamline the process for those license owners who are not only compliant, but they have no violations. And Mr. Chairman, that does in fact conclude my proponent testimony. I'd be honored to stand by for any questions you might have, or in fact offer a short rebuttal if needed. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Representative. Are there any other proponents to House Bill 1119? Any other proponents?
Morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Tim Doherty, and I'm a registered lobbyist for the and badge carrying lobbyist for the Licensed Beverage Dealers of South Dakota. The Licensed Beverage Dealers is an organization of retail license holders. They're primarily the restaurants that hold alcoholic beverage licenses, the bars, and the stores around the state that have alcoholic beverage licenses. We support this legislation. When a liquor license or any kind of an alcoholic beverage license is issued, the city or county that's issuing the license makes or conducts a hearing, an initial hearing on the issuance of that license, and makes a determination as to whether the applicant is a suitable person and whether the proposed location is suitable. And all this bill attempts to do is as Representative Kirkaby mentioned, it removes what we believe is an unnecessary regulation, which is having a hearing upon renewal on the issue of the suitability of the location. Again, I think it's important to keep in mind that when the license was issued, that location was reviewed by the city or the county and determined to be a proper place for the sale of alcoholic beverages. And unless there's been some kind of a change, such as a violation of the law, it just seems practical that those licenses should be issued without the necessity of a hearing every year to reconsider the suitability issue. I, for example, have a license to practice law in South Dakota. I don't have to go before the Bar Association to determine whether or not I'm suitable to practice law every year. It's presumed that I am suitable unless I've done something that warrants disciplinary action, and then the Bar Association will conduct a hearing on that. But the procedure that we have for alcoholic beverage licenses in terms of holding hearings every year can be kind of cumbersome for licensees, and we think that this is just a good idea, and we appreciate Representative Kirkaby coming forward with this legislation. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Doherty.
Thank you.
Are there any other proponents to House Bill 1119?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Ron Buskerud. I'm a Pennington County Commissioner, but I am testifying on behalf of myself today. When you go third, most of your arguments have already been taken up, so I'll make this pretty brief. For 19 years, I was the legal advisor to the Pennington County Commission prior to becoming a commissioner, sometime for the state's attorney's office and then administrative assistant to the commission. My legal opinion always was to the commission that, as Mr. Doherty stated, there are two criteria. One is a suitable person, one is a suitable location. The location, once determined, is the location, and it's hard to say the next year that it's not a proper location. And we in Pennington County, I know, have safeguards that the sheriff will notify the auditor if the person or the employees have committed a violation of alcohol or some other violation. And I believe that that's proper to look at every year. However, my advice to the commission always was that if nothing has changed, if you've decided the year before that it's a suitable person and it's a suitable location, with the investment made by those people, they have a right to rely upon that for the next year. And it was always my opinion as an attorney that if we denied the license, we better have a really good reason why they're not a suitable person, why that's not a suitable location, or I think we run into some liability problems. And I guess, concludes my testimony. I will stand by for questions.
Thank you, sir. Are there any other proponents?
Good morning. My name is Dale Hammock, and I am here testifying for myself. I just concluded my second term at the end of December as a county commissioner in Meade County. I am not here representing Meade County, and I am no longer a commissioner. I determined to not run again. My focus is just a little bit different than the prior speakers. My focus is that the annual renewals of liquor licenses and beer licenses, beer was in June and the liquor license was in November, those hearings turned into a forum to try and fix social issues. It got way beyond the suitability of the person or the location. We heard the same information time after time after time, at least twice a year, and we were asked to deal with moral issues, the conduct of people that came to the rally. We were asked to deal with adult-oriented business matters, which there is an ordinance for that, irrespective of the liquor licenses. We were bombarded with the fallout from the rally, being conduct that perhaps we didn't personally agree with, but there was no law specifically to preclude it. And it turned into a forum of repeated information, very, very seldom anything new. It turned into a matter of dealing with zoning and planning. Meade County is well along the road now to zoning. There have been some areas of the county zoned. There is a process going on now to zone the Sturgis area outside the city. So my concern with it is that it blossomed and grew way beyond what the law says. Now, Mr. Busgrood indicated his legal advice to his commission over the years. Our state's attorney over the years gave us the same advice. If it was previously, a license was previously approved for that specific person and the location was previously approved, we needed to have something very, very significant to not renew that license. I think we got good legal advice. I never had a doubt about that that advice that was given by the various and sundry state's attorneys that we worked with. And I continue today to feel like it is a significant impact to the process of the renewal of liquor licenses and beer licenses also, to open the door and just say you can come in and say anything you want about these people or this location. Several years ago, we actually were asked to not renew a license because a liquor licensee and a contractor were in a dispute over less than $1,000. And those are civil issues that the commissioners should not be asked or burdened with resolving. We have a court system for that. So it seems to me like we need to streamline. We need to create some method that is smoother and more adept at the renewal process. I dealt with it for 8 years, and I really, really encourage a change, and maybe there's some little fine-tuning that needs to be done on this bill, but we need to be working on it. Whenever we had liquor license renewals, we scheduled half a day to deal with those things. Same thing on beer. I know this is not wine and malt beverage, but the same thing. We ate up hours. We hired court recorders to make a record because we ended up getting sued for some of the things that were said in those meetings. So I would encourage and support this change in the law. I'm not a politician. I'm not a county commissioner. I am just a citizen today telling you that in 8 years of experience, it was one of the biggest headaches that the commissioners dealt with. And thank you for your time. I will stay until the end of the hearing should you have questions.
Thank you, sir. Are there any other proponents?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Good morning, Mr. Lyons.
Sean Lyons, South Dakota Retailers Association. This is the only badge that my board will let me wear, so you'll see this one throughout the session. This is my first opportunity before the Commerce Committee this year, so I look forward to working with all of you on issues important to small businesses. And Representative Kirkby contacted us regarding House Bill 1119. I would tell you I applaud his efforts in this legislation. You know, when Governor Dugard spoke about trying to go through and look at state laws and regulations and removing those unnecessary burdens that may exist out there, there may be no bill that fits better into that than House Bill 1119. I would tell you that I really believe, and I'm batting fifth this morning, so I'll be brief compared to everybody else and appreciate all the comments made. I really think that this still maintains the proper balance for those local boards and commissions to have proper oversight over those license holders in good standing, as well as looking at those going forward to make sure that they all are within proper guidelines of what's important. We have great liquor regulations in this state and making sure that those businesses stay in compliance. And I think, as what was said in previous testimony, this is just legislation that really allows local governments to focus on matters that are important to really streamline the process. And we would certainly urge your support of this legislation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Lyons. Any other proponent testimony? Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Senator Jeff Haverly, District 35, and I'm also the prime sponsor on the Senate side for House Bill 1119. We've had a lot of great speakers that have come up, and I've listened attentively at every one of them, and they've all said essentially what I wanted to say but didn't have the opportunity. So I'm going to just tell you a couple of things. You know, we as legislators get a lot of pressures from the outside, and sometimes they confuse the topics. I personally have gotten no less than 50 emails on this topic. Like the good legislators we are, and I'm going to steal this line from somebody, we go into a sort of a self-analysis of where we're at on it. And I call it the state of perpetual caucus, as your own personal caucus that you might have in your head. You know, first of all, one of the things that I'd like to tear down the wall on, if you will, is that this violates a citizen's rights. Not by any stretch of the imagination is this bill designed to do that, or does it do that? It actually does what one of the previous speakers talked about, streamlining government. And that, you know, finding those efficiencies and helping out with that, just that portion of it, is enough for me. You have to exclude, again, what one of the previous speakers had stated as being somewhat of trying to deal with a social issue or a land issue. That's not what this bill is about. This bill is about protecting business owners' rights. And you all, I'm not going to cite you how many businesses, small businesses, are in South Dakota and what they mean to the state's economy. But those efficiencies, along with the business owners' rights and the citizens' rights, are continued to be protected within this bill. So I would sure hope that you guys can find a favorable vote on this bill, get it down to the floor, and let's get it over to the Senate. Thank you very much for your time, Mr. Chair and members of the committee.
Thank you for your comments, Senator. Are there any other proponents?
Mr. Chairman and committee members, my name is Mike Kilmer. I am the manager of an establishment in Piedmont, which is in Meade County, called Socorro Station. And I also help out with Buffalo Chip with their liquor distribution. We also have a liquor license on Socorro Station also. I'm not quite as fluid a speaker as everybody else, but I've been going to the hearings for maybe 15 years now in Meade County, and every hearing is drawn out into a power struggle, and the issues that are brought up are never over location or character. They're just become a fight, and a struggle to make you defensive every time you go there, and it just spends hours. We plan everything for the year way in advance, and it's very difficult to do that if you're always wondering whether you are going to have your license at the time that you put together any type of musical or entertainment or things that go on. This bill needs to be stay exactly like it is and stay as simple as possible, and just expedite everything to get it done. If the person has been found to meet the criteria and nothing's changed, there's no reason to draw that out to long term.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any other proponents? Ms. Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. We are could be a proponent with a small change that we would ask the committee to consider. On page 1 of line 13, we would ask that the committee turn the shall into the may. And, Mr. Chairman, if I may discuss the reasons for that request?
Yes, I would like to hear that.
Thank you. And I've listened with interest, and I think this bill arises from pretty specific circumstances in a pretty specific location, but the law would take effect statewide. Our city councils don't generally want to talk to a liquor license holder because of a criminal violation. By the time you rise to the level of criminal violations, you're probably talking about a suspension or a revoking of a license. Most of the problems that a city has, at least with a liquor license holder, is going to be of the nuisance variety. You've got a lot of trash around your location. We've had a lot of fights at this bar. We've had a lot of complaints from neighboring businesses about the conduct of business in that one location. Those aren't things that rise to a criminal location, but they're something that the city might want to discuss in the context of renewal in order to get that problem resolved before we get to a criminal violation or before we get to a revoking or a suspension issue. Liquor licenses are different from other licenses. For one thing, we limit the number of them. You're not just allowed to have a liquor license because that's what you choose to do with your life. And also the problems and the issues that come along with serving of alcohol do create issues that are dealt with by local communities. I would suggest that the hearings that we've been hearing about are under the control of the local entities. We are small legislative, little l, legislative bodies. We have the ability to say we're going to give so much time to proponents, so much time to opponents, and stick to the topic at hand. I think those issues can be handled locally. And with that may, we would be allowed to, if we have a good barkeeper, good facility with no problems, you could go ahead and just say, okay, we don't need to do this. But it would allow you to also have that discussion with the people that you want to have the talk with before it rises to a criminal entity level. So we would ask for your consideration of that amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Any other proponents? Any other proponents to House Bill 1119? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1119? Any opponents? Any opponents? Seeing none, I will now open it up for committee questions. Representative Condit.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is to Representative Kirkby. That'd be you. Come on. And this will be easy for you because I'm just asking your opinion. Would you address your interpretation of what the proposed amendment from shall to may, the effects you think that would have on your piece of legislation?
Thank you for the question, Representative. Mr. Chairman, if I could respond to that. I would suggest to you that that proposed amendment or that suggested amendment from a proponent testimony really defeats the intent and the merits of this legislation. And specifically, if I could just refer you to the vast majority currently of terminology in license law in Chapter 35, there's four sections that I have in here. That word shall is listed in state statute right now concerning anything submitted to the secretary, to the local governing board regarding a suspension or revocation, or the other recommendation specifically, again, for suspension or a revocation. I think having that terminology on may certainly allows it to specifically have that local interpretation that if, in fact, if they're in a good mood or in a bad mood, they, in fact, may consider having that public hearing. I would additionally suggest to you that the word shall is specifically the heart, the soul, and the merits of this legislation, is if those license holder, again, those thousands of legally operated business owners, if they, in fact, have no violations, have no criminal complaints against them, having that proposed amendment as may specifically defeats the heart and the soul of this legislation. I hope I answered your question, Representative Constant.
You did. Thank you.
Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for Senator Haverly.
Senator Haverly, District 35.
Senator, in a nutshell, why would you oppose the amendment?
Well, we're all familiar with deer hunting here in this state. This is that amendment essentially guts this bill. It no longer makes it a bill, as stated by Representative Kirkaby, that has any effectiveness to it. We actually, I think, thought about it last year, but it can't make the bill work and function properly. With the two word exchanges. I mean, I dealt with this my whole military career, shalls and wills, and there's a big difference between the two. I think to keep the bill as it was intended to be, a good business owner's bill, you need to avoid any kind of amendments to it at this point.
Thank you. No further questions, Mr. Chairman?
Representative Hubbell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a question to anybody who has the answer. How many businesses have had their license taken away from them because of this procedure? Can I ask another question?
And would you care to rephrase that then, Representative?
Well,
obviously no one was stepping up to
go ahead.
Respond.
Mike Kilmer from Meade County. And I don't think anybody here would be able to, unless it was the South Dakota retailer, maybe give you an idea of that because of all the different counties. But I can tell you there's been circumstances in Meade County more than once where they came before the committee and then because of the items that were brought up, not necessarily related to character or location, but maybe a traffic issue or something else, and they were held for maybe 30 days before a hearing was reprocessed and done again. That 30 days is a lot if somebody's putting up several $100,000 for bands or whatever else to plan. In those circumstances, I can say they weren't revoked, but they were held up due to that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hawley.
Mr. Chair, I got a question. The city of Brookings, in the past,
Representative, who's this question?
It's a general, I guess, probably to the primes is what I had asked
it
of.
Thank you.
Because my question is, how would this apply in the past? That when we've had a application for a liquor license, suitable person was fine. The location, there was a lot of testimony against the location. So what the council decided to do is they approved it on the basis that they had the chance to review it next year. And how it worked out. How would this affect that ability of the city to do that? Unless somebody was arrested or there was a penalty assessed to them, they would not have that ability to come back and review that. So we probably wouldn't have gone to that location initially, which would have hurt that. Turned out to be a great location, and it's a great business, and we wouldn't have that if we had this bill in effect, is my concern. How else would they address that, would be my question to the sponsors.
Mr. Chairman, if I could take a shot at this.
Representative.
I believe that through that process, that use on review, which I believe is probably what you're referring to, this bill certainly is not attempting at any means to undermine or take away those previously authorized decisions from a local governing board. I can't emphasize that enough. But I specifically, I think where the heart and soul of your question is, I think it might also refer to those locations, I want to say on that use on review, more specifically those temporary locations that may in fact be open just for a day or for a week. And I believe that those are all addressed in other parts of license law legislation. And I'm not trying to be vague, Representative Holly, but to be honest with you, on that kind of circumstances, I would have to honor those institutions of local government that if in fact they put it within their statute, they're going to have to honor that. However, I do want to emphasize that whether it's a county commission or a city council or South Dakota State House of Representatives, if you have the votes, you can change anything. And I just can't emphasize enough that any local decision can, in fact, be changed that following year with the proper votes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Did you have a follow-up, Representative Hawley?
I'll wait for a response and I'll follow up.
I'm going to take a shot at this, Mr. Chair, and I'm Senator Jeff Haverly, District 35. And maybe if you could clarify it for me, because I think I'm a little bit confused as well. Your question is in the introduction of a new liquor license to the city by a business owner. Is that so you could clarify that for me?
Mr. Chair? Yeah, to clarify, the case we had an extra liquor license available. And there was an applicant, and during the testimony, a lot of the people were concerned about the location. So what the council did is that they approved the liquor license. They gave it to them under the assumption that they were able to come back next year and review it, and if location did turn out to be a problem, that they could reexamine it. And this would take that ability. So if they were forced to make the decision that they would have no review at all in a year, they would not have given that location a liquor license. Okay. And that would have hurt that location bad time if they didn't have it.
I've got the gist of your question now. And I'm not going to most certainly sit up here and criticize the Brookings city or county officials. But I would say that, you know, in light of that, when we make a decision up here, we make a decision as most. And it sounds like an isolated incident. It really does. Which I would hope that you don't entertain that you have an isolated incident that weighs your decision on whether it be an amendment or a bill or anything else. But I would say that if there would have been that type of a question in front of the city council, they had that opportunity at that point to weigh that out and take the vote given that direction. I would hate to be a business owner coming to any community, whether it be for a liquor license or any other type of license, and potentially be called back at a later time if my business is successful and then somebody changes mine because a special interest group comes forward and says it's a bad location, regardless of whether it's a dry cleaning operation or anything else. And again, without being critical of the city council, I would hope that they weighed that out at that point when they had to make that decision. And I understand sometimes that's just not possible, but that's why we have statutes and ordinance and everything else in place, you know, potentially to give everybody the opportunity to come to the table and weigh in, whether they're a special interest group or a citizen or another business. And so I know that was sort of a long-winded answer, but thank you for the question.
No follow-up? Representative Willards.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question I think Representative Kirkaby would maybe best be answering. Let me describe, use an example. In the legislature, we use the consent calendar, and each of us as a member of the legislature has the right to be able to pull an item off of the consent calendar if there's something that gives us a little irritation on that particular bill. In your opinion, Representative Kirkaby, wouldn't most commissions that this would come before have that same ability, so that if they had a particular licensee that, you know, they were having an issue, wouldn't they be able to, you know, call it up and hold the hearing?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative.
Representative Wilson, I do appreciate the question. I think currently, and I can only assume that you're considering moving consent on this bill. Okay. Well, enough of the humor. With local government procedure, it is whether a local government entity elects to consider doing that or not. In current state statute, those individuals that want to show up and oppose a currently legally operated location, the fact that a business owner failed to have their trash picked up that previous week, calls for service or whatever, are still part of that license renewal process. And I just can't emphasize enough, Representative, that those arguments, those suggestions, those complaints currently, in my mind, should not be valid reasons for withholding somebody the privilege and the opportunity to remain in business when there, in fact, are no criminal complaints against them.
Thank you. Representative Hubble?
For Mr. Kirkby has a question here. Wondering, I can see streamlining this bill or the process here, like maybe even combining with November and June's hearings together, if possible. And isn't it possible that the moderator or the chairman of those hearings could stop some of the pettiness? And I do like the conversion from shall to may. That's why I'm kind of asking here. It seems that the more public input you have, that's viable public input. The pettiness you'd think could be, you know, deemed out of the ordinary or not be able to testify if it was deemed inappropriate by the moderator or chairman. Is that a possibility?
Thank you for your question. If I could, Mr. Chairman, respond to that. Currently, in codified law, 35211 and 35212 are the legal precedents that we're trying to address in here, those specific, legitimate, reasonable criminal complaints against a license holder. There was testimony previously offered that if you have your legal license ability to practice law in the great state of South Dakota, if there are no allegations or no criminal conduct issues, you know for a fact that you're going to be able to remain in business for that following year. I would further suggest to you that even though my real estate broker's license is inactive right now, if in fact I decided to get back in the business and I knew that if I never had any allegations or complaints or under any board of review, that every year all I have to do is send in my check because I know I'm a legally operating professional business in the great state of South Dakota. And specifically, that's what I'm trying to address here, is any time that you can offer that probability, that likelihood, and using that terminology may as opposed to shall, it totally defeats that purpose where anybody can show up and continue to protest for whatever reason. And I think it's only a common courtesy that a local board of commissioners or a city council will, in fact, does want to honor those rights of protestees on an issue. But there does have to be some ability for, in fact, those county commissioners or that city council people to weigh the merits both on the pros and the cons of any opposition testimony, and right now that does not exist.
Representative Konzett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My next question is for Ms. Taylor. Thank you for coming up. After hearing the opposite side of the question that I asked about the amendment that you had proposed between shall and may, I would like to hear your opinion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, if I may. I've heard the reference to the legal profession or law licenses several times. I sat on the disciplinary board for 6 years. Very, very few of the attorneys that we saw rose to a criminal penalty. They were come on in because we want to discuss this before it gets out of hand, and that's what we're talking about here. We don't do this for every business. Liquor licenses are treated differently than any business I can think of. I can't think of anything else where we limit the number of them and then issue them and have this sort of a system set up. The may would allow the local entities to say, no problem with this business. We don't need to have the hearing. I think it really is a good compromise. I hate disagreeing with Representative Kirkby because he's the chair of the committee we're in front of most of the time. So I'm up here at some considerable pain to myself. But we do think the May is a good compromise because it lets you have that discussion before it rises to a criminal penalty. If you remove that, if you keep this language in place, the situation that was mentioned in Brookings, I'm afraid I don't see a grandfather clause in here. I don't see a way for a city, once it comes up for renewal, to say no or to say, hold on, or wait a minute. When we heard about a delay for 30 days, that doesn't mean the business was shut down, to my knowledge. I believe that would take a suspension. And then you are talking probably about criminal penalties. We would like to have that discussion before it rises to that level.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Representative Hawley.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kirkby, your testimony brought up a question. You kept referring to allegations as the reason that they could review it, but the way it's written, they have to be a criminal penalty imposed. So if there's several complaints and several allegations of a problem, unless there's a criminal prosecution of it, that would not be grounds to review it as the way I read the bill. Is that a correct statement?
Mr. Chairman, that's an excellent clarification question. I do appreciate that. Currently, right now, the Department of Revenue, through their proceedings, more specifically, that local governing authority, whether it be the county commission or the city council, can in fact hear any complaint, whether it's frivolous or there is some substance, at any county commission meeting or any city council meeting that they have as far as being on any public meeting. That ability to complain against a business, a location, the merits, is certainly part of that procedure right now. They can, in fact, show up each and every week. But I would contend to you that this bill specifically says that those are not legitimate reasons, nor will they be considered when it comes to renewing that license. I can't emphasize enough, traditional complaints will always be granted. They will always be protected. In my testimony, I certainly made specific recommendations in supporting that fact in protecting government's right or citizens' right to visit with any government official.
Thank you, Representative. Any other questions? Seeing none, the chair now closes the public testimony portion of House Bill 1119 and opens it up for committee discussion or action. Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess the input I would like to give here is, as a liquor license owner in the state of Iowa, I wish it was in South Dakota, but I just can't seem to get a liquor license over here. So until we get that, you know, issue rectified in the hopeful near future, in Iowa, this is just, maybe we'll shed some light on this. You apply for your liquor license through the state of Iowa. You go through a investigation, you know, through your history, because anything that you've done wrong has come through the State Department anyway. You do that, it comes back, you send it to the city, it goes before the city council, they send out inspectors, your business is inspected, whether it's qualifies, you know, they give you time to correct things to make your inspection pass, and it goes through. All other issues have nothing to do with it. It's just getting your liquor license and getting it renewed. We go through that every year. In Iowa, you pay your fee. You go through that every year. It's a very simple process. Because all of the other issues that I'm hearing about here really have nothing to do with liquor licensing. Licensing is just about legally getting licensed. If somebody has a complaint, they can go before the city council, I believe, and after you're in business, and bring up any issues. I don't really see where garbage has anything to do with licensing or other personal issues. Licensing is licensing. So I agree with what you're trying to do here.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Willardson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Willardson moves do pass on House Bill 1119.
The motion for do pass on House Bill 1119, seconded by Representative Consett. Representative Willardson.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think from the big picture on this, we need to keep in mind, just as the previous comments were, that, you know, this deals with licensing. You know, it's not the other issues. And I think it's a good bill, and I think we should send it through.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hawley.
Mr. Chair, on the basis that there is nobody that's lost a license the way the law is right now, and in reality that if we did put this law into effect, we would be one less license in Brookings, I can't support this. I haven't seen where there's a problem currently, and this is going to create a problem.
Any other discussion? Representative Hubble.
This is a question for those who know, part of the discussion. If something that does go to the city council with a complaint of a state-issued license, can the city council do anything to revoke a state license?
We're past the question stages. The question is on due pass. Now, any others of the committee wish to make a comment? Representative Dielstra.
The answer is yes,
Lord. Representative Nofstrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we do need to pass this bill, even though we can't point to a certain situation where a licensee might have lost their license. Putting their license in doubt is a huge disadvantage, and those businesses suffer. They can't plan, and it's just a really bad situation. So if they're doing what they need to do to stay compliant, I don't think it's fair to them to put their license in doubt, and because they're running a legitimate business, they went through the procedure the first time and they're doing everything right. So I would ask for the rest of the committee to support this motion.
Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that this is a reasonable proposal that's put before us here today. I do think that there have been some reasonable suggestions made, and I think that, you know, it's important to hear those things and maybe continue to work through some of those issues as this bill moves along in the process. I do think Representative Hawley has a valid concern, and I think Ms. Taylor does as well. So I'm hopeful that we'll move this along in the process today. Realize that we'll have another opportunity to revisit this on the floor, and then as it moves along in the Senate side. I'd also like to point out that I think Mr. Doherty may have stumbled upon a little piece of genius. Perhaps we should subject all lawyers to an annual or maybe even monthly review.
Thank you, Representative. Any other discussion? Seeing no further discussion, the question at hand is do pass on House Bill 1119. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Dielstra.
Aye.
Pargin.
No.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawley.
No.
Hubble.
No.
Jensen.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Willardson.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
10 yeas, 3 nays.
House Bill 1119, having received a majority of the vote from the members present, passes. Thank you. The next bill we will now open for hearing is House Bill 1137, an act to prohibit the sale of caffeinated alcoholic beverages. And again, I'd ask the committee to hold all your questions until the appropriate time. We will now hear proponent testimony on House Bill 1137.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Honorable members of the Energy and Commerce Committee, Commerce and Energy Committee, I come before you today to ask you to defer to the 41st day this legislation. When we did do the research on it in October, the feds had not moved on it yet. They have since moved on it, and I was going to bring you some samples of the different products. Number one, that would have been illegal, and I was thinking of empty products. Well, that would have probably been open container, so I didn't want to do that either. So we were kind of in a quandary, but the federal government has done something right by taking a lot of these products off the market. The wholesalers have done something right by pulling them voluntarily as well. And at this time, I don't see any need for this legislation, but I do thank you for your consideration. I'm trying to make this fast and painless for you so you can move on with your other business. So with that.
Thank you, Representative.
Thank you.
Now, are there any other proponents to this bill, Representative?
Not anymore, probably.
And I would think, seeing none, I'll open it up for any opponents to the bill anymore.
Not anymore?
Okay. Seeing none, I will close public testimony and ask for committee comments.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Greenfield.
I move to table House Bill 1137.
The motion to table House Bill 1137 made by Representative Greenfield, seconded by Representative Bargeon. Any comments, Representative?
Non-debatable.
Thank you. With that, the move to table House Bill 1137, I will ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Representative Dielstra.
Aye.
Bargeon.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawley.
Aye.
Hubble.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Willardson.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
Solem. 13.
Aye.
13. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
House Bill 1137 has been tabled. Okay, and the last item of business for the House Commerce and Energy Committee will be the hearing on House Bill 1058, which is an act to clarify the definition of motor vehicles for the purpose of supplemental automobile liability insurance. I will now open it up for proponent testimony. Representative Willardson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mark Willardson, District 11, House of Representatives. And I also hold a valid insurance license in the state of South Dakota. I do. If I may, I'd like to start out by just, you know, kind of giving an overview of what House Bill 1058 attempts to do. Several years ago, this legislature passed legislation defining a motor vehicle. In that, we left out supplemental vehicles. Now, a supplemental vehicle might be like a golf cart or such, you know, that while you need to have insurance on it and such, it's not a motor vehicle that as it's defined. Well, that's probably not 100% correct, but it doesn't fit into your car, into that particular description. And so really all this bill does is goes back and adds, you know,
the definitions to the supplemental vehicles. So before I make any mistakes or do anything else, I'm going to turn over the testimony to those behind me that are ready. To testify on the proponent side. So I'd appreciate your positive consideration for House Bill 1058. Thanks, committee.
Thank you, Representative. Any other proponents to House Bill 1058?
Mr. Chair.
Good morning.
Mr. Chair, committee, my name is Doug Abraham. I'm an attorney from here in Pierre. I'll also be looking for Mr. Doherty after this committee meeting. I'm a registered lobbyist for the Property Casualty Insurers Association of America, or PCI. PCI is a trade organization whose members represent approximately 70% of the property casualty insurers in the country. Our members also include a majority of the insurers doing business in the state of South Dakota. This bill is an effort of industry trade groups, insurance companies, along with input from the Division of Insurance. And it's a consolidated effort. This bill simply provides a codified definition to the term motor vehicle for supplemental automotive liability insurance purposes. Presently, there is no codified definition for this purpose. The Division of Insurance brought this to the attention of industry representatives, and industry working in concert with the division came up with this definition. Both industry and the division, I feel, agree it represents the current trade practices and continues to protect the expectations of our insureds. With that, I would like to thank the division for the opportunity to work with their representatives in drafting this legislation. Thanks for your time and consideration. We'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you, sir. Any other proponents to House Bill 1058?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. It is, in fact, true that we did work with the industry folks on defining the term motor vehicle. There is a different definition in a different part of the code. That was the only one we could use. We did not have one specific to the medical payments coverage, which we're trying to deal with here. We believe this strikes a good balance as to the breadth of what motor vehicle should be for this purpose, and we support the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moses. Any other proponent? Are there any opponents to House Bill 1058? Any opponents? Seeing none, I will now open it up for committee questions. Any questions by the committee? Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My only question, and I don't know who wants to answer this, but why the particular exceptions in the bill? Except traction engines, road rollers, farm wagons, freight trailers, etc. Is that something we're seeing is standard in other states, or what's the rationale there?
Mr. Chair.
Certainly.
Representative. The basis for this definition actually came from the motor vehicle definition on the motor vehicle title, and that's present there currently. We just included a couple additions that would actually apply also to trailers to meet the current industry trade expectations. So that's presently part of the motor vehicle definition in the actual motor vehicle title.
Any other questions? Questions? Seeing no further questions, I'll close the public testimony portion on House Bill 1058 and open it up for committee comments and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move do pass.
Second.
The motion of do pass was made by Representative Greenfield, seconded by Representative Willardson. I'm sorry, Dielstra. Seconded by Representative Dielstra. Comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess as has been laid out, this sounds like a pretty fair bill to move forward. Representative Willardson did a good job in pitching the bill and not saying too much so as to muddy the waters, and then he turned it over to the experts. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative. Any other discussion? Seeing no further discussion, the question at hand is do pass on House Bill 1058. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Dielstra.
Aye.
Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hawley.
Aye.
Hubbell.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Willardson.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
13-0.
House Bill 1058, having received a majority of the vote from the members present, passes.
I move to consent.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Consett.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move a title amendment to add the word of after purpose and before supplemental.
That is on line 2 of the bill, to add the word of prior to supplemental. And was there a second? Seconded by Representative Greenfield. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The title has been amended.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Dielstra.
Is it too late to move to consent?
I think it would be a great time.
All right, I move consent.
The consent motion by Representative Dielstra, seconded by Representative Hubbell. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been moved to the consent calendar. Thank you very much. Representative Fargin.
It was tough to vote on that last one there for consent. We've given Representative Wilson two consent bills. That was pretty difficult for me.
We'll make sure that doesn't happen again, Representative. Thank you very much. With that, that concludes the business for today, and the chair would entertain a motion to adjourn. The motion by Representative Greenfield, seconded by Representative Consett. All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.